Thank you, Sue. Welcome to the Court of Appeals. This is the second of three oral arguments we have. Judges Connolly and Cleary are joining me, Judge Sleater, in this matter. The file number in this case number 2A211018 in the matter of the welfare of JCL. We do ask counsel when you begin your comments to identify yourself for the record, and we are making a record recording this proceeding. No other recording is allowed, but you will have access to this proceeding at the Judicial Branch's website within 24 hours, and you should be able to see the clock in the corner, and so that will run unless we have technological trouble, which we did have in the first hearing. Then the marshal knows to freeze the clock. At which time, when we're reconnected, it would resume. So, counsel for appellant, you may identify yourself and begin. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Chang Lau. I'm an assistant state public defender, and I represent the appellant, JCL. Now, in my brief to this court, I raised four arguments. Today, I want to focus the court's attention on the first one pertaining to the pornographic work adjudications. To start, appellant, who is 17 years old at the time of the alleged offense, was adjudicated delinquent of felony dissemination of pornographic work for sending nude pictures he took of himself to an NM.
Mr. Lau, can I'm sorry to interrupt you early, but I just wanted to clarify as to issue one. You weaved in the words insufficiency of evidence, but am I correct to say, as I look at your argument, and it looks like the respondent understood it the same way, that it's a purely legal argument, meaning the interpretation of the statute, both as to the dissemination as well as the account of attempting to aid and abet dissemination? Because your point is that one cannot, as a minor, send a picture of themselves under that statute. So just to clarify, it's a purely legal issue, not our traditional fact-based sufficiency of evidence argument. Would that be an accurate description?
Yeah, I think that's mostly right, Your Honor. I would say at the end of the analysis, once the court sort of deciphers the legal meaning of the statute, you know, figuring out which elements exist, it still has to apply the facts that were taken from this case and apply those to the elements that it determines.
My question wasn't as clear as it should be, but as I look at your client's argument and the state's response to it, would it be safe to say that if we disagreed with your client's interpretation of the statute, then the facts supported the adjudications?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
I mean, there are no disputed facts in this case. That's not sort of the nature of the argument. So to continue on, for the adjudication, appellant was ordered to register as a predatory offender for 10 years. Had he been 5 months older, that is, if he'd been an adult, he would have at most been convicted of a gross misdemeanor crime and would not have had to register as a predatory offender. Now, this court should reverse appellant's pornographic work adjudications because minors do not create pornographic works by taking nude photographs of themselves. This is because under the plain language of section 617.247, the definition of pornographic work requires a person use and victimize another to create the work. Here, appellant did not use nor victimize another by taking a picture of himself. Now, at a minimum, this court should hold that subdivision one of 617.247 and the definition of pornographic work render the pornographic work statute ambiguous. Under the ambiguity analysis, this court should hold appellant's interpretation is more reasonable than the state's because it avoids confronting constitutional principles of equal protection. It avoids absurd, unfair, and unreasonable results. And it furthers the express purpose of the legislation to protect children.
Now, counsel, let me interrupt a minute. I understand your argument and your argument in the brief. And you acknowledge, I believe, that subdivision references person does not reference adult or minor. You agree with that, right?
That's right.
Okay. So you're going to the psychological damage for minors, but isn't there a psychological damage for the victim in this case?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe so.
And arguably, just arguably, isn't the statute directed as much as the recipient as the person who was involved in the photo itself?
No, Your Honor. There, I would disagree with you.
Okay.
Because I think the subdivision one makes clear that the purpose of the legislation is to protect the minors who are depicted in the content that is created, whereas fifth-degree criminal sexual conduct and indecent exposure, those statutes with which my client was charged with are more aimed at protecting the recipients of this type of content, the undesired receipt of this content. So I think that is a very important point in that the legislature recognized that there were these two existing statutes that protect recipients and prevent the psychological harm that results from receiving this type of content. And so they didn't feel a need to address that with the pornographic work statute. And I think that's fairly clear from looking at not only subdivision one the statute 617.247, but also the case law, right? I mean, this court in State versus Rhodes is very clear that the victim that is protected by the pornographic work statute are those individuals, those minors who are used by another in the pornographic work.
Let me interrupt just for a minute and take this to an argument that there might be a little bit out there, but is there an argument that in this case, the child involved that sent the picture victimized himself? He's a minor after all. It is a minor. Is that an argument?
I do not believe it is a viable argument. Now, to the extent that this court determines that there's any degree of victimization or abuse that a person could commit upon themselves, that the legislature intended to protect these minors by punishment through criminal sanctions and by imposing a 10-year registration requirement, that to me is just abjectly absurd, right? I think there are other ways the legislature can try to prevent this type of behavior to protect minors. But I think it really runs contrary.
The legislature gets to decide how they get to pass the laws for whatever reasons they get to pass them. But I want to make sure I understand your argument. So would it be fair to say that if we accepted your argument that under this statute, a minor who takes a picture of, his genitalia and sends it to another minor could not be convicted of a crime under this statute?
That is my argument, Your Honor.
Okay. As I always try to explain to my clerks, there's appellate land and then there's, the real world. Wouldn't that interpretation then encourage minors to take pictures of themselves and send them to other minors? I mean, it seems to me that's not what the legislature wants either.
Well, Your Honor, like I mentioned before, and what happened in this case was that he was not just charged with the pornographic work statute. He was separately charged with the fifth degree criminal sexual conduct and indecent exposure statutes. So there are still ways the legislature can discourage this behavior. Now, going back to this, what you said, Judge Conley, about, the legislature can, legislate the way that it wants, can protect children the way that it wants. You're absolutely right. But what I'm asking this court to do is to interpret, to look at subdivision one specifically, but to interpret the pornographic work statutes to effectuate the intent of the legislature. And legislative intent is clear from subdivision one. It's to protect children who are being used by another in these pornographic works, not to punish children who engage in the conduct that my client engaged in.
And I appreciate that. And I appreciate that, maybe the state should have charged him with something else other than this.
But they did.
I mean, if
they did.
Right. Well, I'm not a prosecutor either. They prosecutors normally charge a lot, you know, and then hope for the best. But, you know, if we were to accept your interpretation, wouldn't we have to read in the statute a person other than a minor who disseminates pornographic work to an adult or a minor is guilty of a felony? Wouldn't we have to read that word into, we would not be adding that word into the statute?
I don't think so, because what I'm talking about here is what constitutes the creation of pornographic work, right? And if you look at the definition that's provided under 617.246, which is referenced by the statute that's at issue here for the definition of pornographic work, it defines pornographic work as content that's created by the use of another or the use of a minor. I think implied in that language, clearly implicit in that language, is that one person is using another. And I have the statute here before me, and use of a minor in subdivision 2 is defined as it is unlawful for a person to promote, employ, use, or permit a minor to engage in or assist others to engage minors in posing or modeling alone or with others in any sexual performance or pornographic work. So implicit in that is that there has to be one person using another. And then you read that together with subdivision 1, which you cannot ignore because of the whole statute doctrine of interpretation. You know, it requires that there's one person using another in a victimizing and abusive way.
Mr. Lau, it seems the key focus of your argument that the statute is unambiguous is you're looking at the policy statement of subdivision 1. Am I correct?
The policy statement of subdivision 1 and the definition of pornographic work, right?
I want to start with that because number one, I didn't see any case law in your brief that would suggest that looking at a preamble or policy statement is a basis to interpret the elements, which here we have in subdivision 3. And in fact, our court, and I think it was after the briefing was completed, I got the initials, NRCA, it looked like almost the identical argument, though it was a non-precedential case in December, basically disagreed with that argument. And I didn't see case law there either, but I don't know of any affirmative case law that would allow us to do that. And it strikes me as an odd way to interpret a statute is to look at the broad purposes of the statute, but then we have the elements of the crime listed below, which here clearly simply say a person. So if you look at a person, and then my understanding under the definition of pornographic work here that was alleged was the lewd exhibition of genitalia. And right. So there was no argument below or otherwise this picture was anything other than a lewd exhibition of genitalia. So if a person is a juvenile, I can include a minor who displays the lewd exhibition, how does that become ambiguous unless you look at subdivision 1? And if we look at subdivision, what authority do you have to look at that to understand what the legislature really meant by subdivision 3 was? And that's where we get to that in the words, if you follow my question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally get you. And I was the attorney on the NRCA case. And I will say that, one, you're right, that is a non-presidential opinion. I don't know that they go into a lengthy statutory interpretation analysis in that case. This statute is unique in that the policy statement is within the charging statute, right? I could not find another statute where they include the policy and purpose statement. Now, if the purpose of any statutory interpretation is to figure out and then effectuate the intent of the legislature, if the intent is within the statute, I feel like there is a higher requirement that this court look to it to interpret the meaning of the statute. Now, separate and apart from that.
Can I just, before you go on, just to clarify though, would you agree that the elements listed under subdivision 3 are not ambiguous? It's only if we were to look at the policy statement and apply it to our facts and the elements, would one arguably rise to a level of ambiguity?
I mean, I would disagree with that too, Your Honor, because again, you have to take it all in consideration, and the definition of pornographic use is important here. right? Because I think if you look at the definition of pornographic work, again, it implies fairly clearly that the what's being protected or prohibited here is the use of a minor by another person, not a use of a minor by themselves. And if you look at all of the statute, including subdivision one, the entire purpose of the statute is to protect minors from people who prey on them by doing this type of behavior, not to prohibit kids who sext with each other willfully, not to prohibit kids from taking pictures of themselves.
Counsel, I have a question. I know we're running out of time, but I want to make sure I understand this part of the argument. Are you suggesting that the policy language in the statute, subdivision one, makes subdivision three ambiguous?
This court can look at it one of two ways. One is that I see my time has run out. Is it okay if I complete the answer?
Yes, certainly. You may answer Judge Cleary's question. Yeah.
I will say the policy statement can either make the subdivision three ambiguous when read together with the pornographic work definition, which I argued in my brief, or alternatively, this court can look at the plain language of subdivision one and subdivision three and hold that in order to create a pornographic work, one person has to use another in order to create that work.
But doesn't that mean, excuse me, I'm done a minute here. Doesn't that mean then policy trumps statutory language?
No, because the subdivision one is both policy and statutory language, right? It's built into the statute that charges the crime. And so, again, this is a unique statute. I have not been able to find another one of its kind. But, you know, I think you have to take that into consideration given the whole statute doctrine.
Very well. Thank you, Mr. Lau. And you will have 5 minutes of rebuttal. Counsel for respondent, if you would, once we see the 15 minutes, there we have it. If you would identify yourself for the record, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court, counsel, my name is Will Lundy. I am a certified student attorney under the supervision of Special Assistant Redwood County Attorney Travis Smith, and I represent the state of Minnesota in this case. Like appellant, I would like to limit the scope of my argument to a discussion of the statutory interpretation question, unless the court has questions about any of the other issues that were raised and discussed in the briefs. I would be happy simply to rely on my brief for those arguments. So proceeding then right away into the statutory interpretation question, Minnesota statute section 617.247 subdivision 3 is not ambiguous in its plain meaning. The statute simply says a person who disseminates pornographic work to an adult or a minor, knowing or with reason to know its content and character, is guilty of a felony. Certainly, appellant has not denied the fact that he is a person. He does not deny the fact that what he did was disseminate something. His concern is primarily about whether or not what he disseminated was in fact a pornographic work. But as one of you pointed out, I think, I don't remember if it was Judge Sleater or Judge Connolly, but it was, what he sent were pictures of his erect penis, which is to say lewd exhibition of the genitals. And lewd exhibition of the genitals is sexual conduct as defined in Minnesota statute section 617.246. And so I think I want to touch quickly on counsel's argument about use. He talked about section 617.246 subdivision 2, which is of course a different statute and not the one under which he was adjudicated.
Counsel, before you go to that statute.
Yes.
What about subdivision 1 in 617.247, which does reference physical and psychological damage caused by, quote, they're being used in, unquote, pornographic work. And that's the thrust of his argument right there, is that the victim in this case may have been victimized by indecent exposure or some criminal sexual conduct provision, but given this policy provision that's actually outlined in the first part of the statute, subdivision one, why doesn't that suggest that even though they inartfully wrote subdivision three that they were referencing, that minors in this situation shouldn't be subject to the law?
I think the answer, Your Honor, is that subdivision one does not purport in any way to create any element of an offense. Subdivision three, subdivision four certainly create offenses, and the elements are unambiguously defined therein. So when I read the policy statement in subdivision one, I think what it reflects is not the legislature requiring the state to prove in every case that a minor was physically and psychologically damaged so as to be victimized. I think what it reflects is the legislative judgment that, you know, that minors in pornographic images are always physically and psychologically damaged. When you read down in the policy statement as well, to try to read that statement as providing more elements of the offense, I think you have to take it as a whole. And I don't think appellant simply gets to pick and choose which parts of the policy statement qualify as elements of the offense and which don't. So, for example, it is therefore the intent of the legislature to penalize possession of a pornographic work. If, in fact, the policy statement were to trump the plain language of the crimes as they're defined later on in the statute, that would do away with the dissemination charge altogether, because what we're saying is it's the intent of the legislature to penalize possession. It doesn't say anything about intent of the legislature to penalize dissemination. Furthermore, as we continue to go down through subdivision.
Counsel, let me interrupt for a minute just to be clear on that. If this, JCL had a picture of himself, such as this picture he sent, and he just possessed that and then sent it out, is he possessing pornography? Picture of himself?
If he possesses the picture of himself, would it be child pornography? Yes, under the definition of child pornography, it would. I think, you know, the question at that point would become, you know, how that would ever be enforced if no one ever found out about it. But I mean, there's the practical reality of it. But, you know, we have circumstances like that all the time where, you know, you might have a situation where yes, something fits the definition of a crime, but, you know, how would a person ever find out?
Mr. Lundy, kind of to follow up Judge Cleary's questions, it almost seems like you're arguing that the whole subdivision one is surplusage, and we generally don't assume that if they wrote it. It is what it is, and the statement's pretty clear that our policy in enacting this section, and is that any different if they use our purpose in enacting this section? I mean, it's pretty clear that they had a reason we're enacting this section, and subdivision three is part of this section. Is it your position that we should simply ignore subdivision one as if it's meaningless?
No, the subdivision certainly is not meaningless, Your Honor. It does work, but it doesn't have to create elements of the offense in order to have independent meaning. When we start thinking about constitutional questions, when we start thinking about pornography, right? Because, we talk about the First Amendment, we talk about freedom of speech issues. And I think what the legislature is doing here is it's clear that what they're trying to do by penalizing this, it's recognizing that children who are used in child pornography are being victimized. You know, it would be a different matter, I think, if we were saying that the harm caused by child pornography was harm to the viewer, which I think when you start thinking about obscenity and you start thinking about how the Supreme Court has dealt with pornography in other cases, you know, the idea is that, the pornography doesn't actually harm the viewer, and the locus of the analysis goes there. Whereas here, it's the locus of the harm to the people in the pictures. And
Mr. Lundy, then, and as Mr. Lau points out, almost all of the definition of pornographic have some action. Of course, the one that seems like the best fit, which wasn't charged here, is when minor is used in a sexual act. But there's other definitions. It seems like the one charged here is the one that has inactivity. It's simply, other than sending it, and that is a lewd pornographic exhibition or lewd exhibition of genitalia. And that subdivision did not describe lewd. And so I presume that therefore it means a non-lewd exhibition of genitalia would not be a violation. The jigs, to my understanding, don't have a definition, but that is the subdivision, correct? And so I assume the evidence was disseminating the picture, right?
Right.
Was there, how did the state present evidence of lewd? I didn't see any findings, in other words, by the judge, nor a conclusion as to what that meant.
Sure. I think the evidence was that the images that he sent were of his, were, you know, up close and personal images of his erect penis. And, you know, the fact that that was lewd was simply never challenged below. So I don't think there's any question here that, you know, and appellant didn't seem to raise it, as far as I could tell, in either of his original brief or his reply brief, to suggest that that wasn't a lewd exhibition of the genitals. I do want to address another kind of harm here. And in subdivision one, if we go back to subdivision one, I'd like to point out the fact that subdivision one says it is the intent of the legislature to penalize possession of pornographic work, right? In order to protect the identity of minors who are victimized by involvement in the pornographic work. So we're talking about minors who have already been victimized, clearly in that statement, who have already been involved. So what we're looking to do, if we were to strictly construe this statute, then what we would be looking at is protecting the identity of the minors, and really that's all. And of course, that doesn't make sense with the definition of pornographic work, because in the definition of pornographic work, so that's going to be 617.246 subdivision one parens F parens two, as relevant here, any photograph. So when you look at parens little I, uses a minor to depict actual or simulated sexual conduct with no reference to the person's identity. And then parens little two, or little parens little two, has been created, adapted, or modified to appear that an identifiable minor is engaging in sexual conduct. So to try to read subdivision one as, you know, in terms of creating elements of the offense, it only says that the intent is to protect identity, whereas the very definition of pornographic work makes no distinction and says where there's pornographic work, whether we can identify the minor or not. And then secondly, there's another kind of harm here. It says we're protecting the identity of minors who are victimized by involvement, and to protect minors from future involvement in pornographic work. It doesn't say the minors. It doesn't say these minors. It says minors, minors in general. And so when we're thinking about the harm caused by disseminating child pornography, any dissemination of child pornography feeds further demand for child pornography. Whether we have facts about it or not here, we don't know whether the images that appellant sent out may have been intercepted by someone on the dark web or something along those lines, and they get out into the public. And once those images are out there, they're out there permanently. Appellant may very well have a tremendous change of mind or tremendous change of heart about the time he's, you know, 26, 27 years old and has children. And all of a sudden they find out, well, hey, here's pictures of my dad's, you know, erect penis that have been on the internet. So that's harm to him in the future that he may not even be thinking about. And there's harm to other children because, again, the existence of—
Mr. Counsel, I want to make sure I understand. So let's say, for the sake of argument, the victim in this case, the 13-year-old, never received this picture because, you know, internet transmission problems. Are you saying that Mr. Lau's client could have been charged under this statute just for sending it out, and maybe sometime in the future, someone else sees it? Are you saying that?
I just want to make sure I understand your question, Your Honor.
So the victim in this case never got the picture, but it was disseminated out into the dark web. Okay. Right? And somehow, you know, it's out there.
Okay.
And someone else sees it. Are you saying that he could have been prosecuted, that Mr. Lau's client could have been prosecuted under those circumstances? Under this statute?
That's an interesting question, because it's a person who disseminates pornographic work to an adult or minor. So I think, you know, the fact question there would be, you know, did he disseminate, I mean, substantively, right? I mean, certainly we could charge attempt in that scenario, I assume, you know, but of course that would be different. But I think we would have to demonstrate under the plain language of subdivision 3 that it was disseminated to an adult or a minor. I'm going to look at the definition of disseminate real quick, because I want to make sure I'm not missing something, or maybe there isn't one. Dissemination. Oh no, that's a statute. Definitions. I guess I don't see a definition of disseminate right here off the top of my head. But yeah, I think the question there would be a matter of, a question. It could be a question of fact. Did he send it to anyone? And the other thing would be, you know, yeah, I think ultimately under those circumstances, if the person didn't receive it, we'd probably be looking at an attempt. But I'd have to think through that a little bit more. I'm sorry if that doesn't answer your question.
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay. I think that I see I only have about 45 seconds left. I do want to highlight that reading this policy statement to add elements to the offense is unreasonable. And when you read them in light of subdivisions 5 and subdivision 6, subdivision 5 creates an exception for certain people who are permitted to possess and disseminate child pornography, typically government authorities who are prosecuting the crime and those kinds of people. And of course, juveniles who take pictures of themselves are not on there. And subdivision 6 explicitly says that consent is not a defense. And I think what that reflects is the fact that the juvenile's subjective understanding of the harm that he or she has suffered is irrelevant to the question of whether or not it's a pornographic image. I see my time has expired. If the court has no further questions, I would ask this court to affirm appellant's adjudications. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lundy. And Mr. Lau, you'll now have 5 minutes rebuttal. You may proceed.
So I just want to touch on 3 points and then answer any questions the judges may have. But to your question, Judge Conley, about whether or not my client could have been charged with any crime under the statute, under the state's interpretation, if he had taken a picture of his penis and sent it out and no one received it, absolutely, he could be charged with possession, right? Because what he possesses is pornographic work. And I think Judge Cleary picked up on that. So for merely taking a picture of himself and holding onto it, not even sending it, trying to send it out, not even attempting to do anything with it, he would be guilty of a crime under the state's interpretation, under the statute. And so I find that to be an absurd interpretation of the statute. Now, as far as the state's point regarding this court shouldn't read elements into the statute, I'm not asking the court to do that. We aren't. At the end of the day, the purpose of any statutory construction, and this is spelled out under 645.16, is to figure out what it is the legislature is trying to do with the statute.
Counsel, can I interrupt just a minute on that issue?
Yeah.
When we go to subdivision 3, person who disseminates pornographic work to an adult or minor, knowing or with reason to know, et cetera, the legislature wrote a provision that includes minor in it to an adult or minor, and yet they used a person in addressing who disseminates. They could have used other than a minor, and they didn't, and that is hard for me to get around. So
yeah,
if you'd like to address.
Of course. Now I want to clarify, I'm not saying because of the fact that my client is a minor he can't commit a crime under the statute. Okay. Now, if a minor uses another minor to create a pornographic work, as it is defined under these two statutes, that minor is still subject to criminal prosecution. My argument is that a minor who takes a picture of themselves is not creating a pornographic work. And now that's the other point that I wanted to touch on, is what Judge Sleater said about you know, what whether or not pornographic, the definition of pornographic work under section 617.246 is relevant to the statute we're talking about, absolutely. Because the dissemination crime that my client is charged and adjudicated of is a person who disseminates pornographic work, right? And pornographic work under subdivision 2 is defined in the under 617.247 subdivision 2 is defined by reference to 246. And so pornographic work is the definition of that that's relevant here is a visual depiction uses a minor to depict actual or simulated sexual conduct. So that uses a minor piece is in the 247 statute. Okay, and so again, it implies strongly that that it's one person using another. Now, the final point I want to make, and I'll probably touch on some others because I have some time, but the final big point I want to make is that, you know, again, we are not asking this court to add elements to legislation. This court can't do that. What we're asking the court to do is to look at subdivision 1 of 617.247 and use that, because this court should do that, in interpreting the pornographic work definition, which is in the statute that my client is charged and adjudicated of. Now, this notion that the state is using this statute to protect the minor that's subject of charge, I find that to be somewhat absurd, because again, the state's not protecting him. The state is subjecting him to criminal prosecution, all the stigma that surrounds it, and requiring him to register as a predatory offender. So he is not being treated as a protected party here. The protected party is NM, and NM was, you know, subject to harm, but that harm was prevented by the indecent exposure statute. And that harm was prevented by the fifth degree criminal sexual conduct statute that my client was charged and adjudicated of. We are not challenging those adjudications other than saying that they're single behavioral incidents and subject to or lesser included of each other. So for all of those reasons, I'd ask this court to reverse my client's adjudications for relating to the possession or dissemination of pornographic works. Thank you.
Leader, with your permission, I do have one more question for Mr. Lau.
Yes, indeed.
Mr. Lau, you would agree with me that the legislature in the policy section of the statute, if they had wanted to, they could have said, but this specifically excludes minors showing, distributing pictures of themselves to other minors. I mean, they could have made that clear in the policy as well. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah. I think that's a fair statement. I think, I mean, can I just quickly address that, Your Honor?
Well, yeah. I mean, if Judge Sleater will allow.
Certainly.
That's who I'm asking. Excuse me.
Yes, you may.
So, you know, I think the reason the legislature didn't is I think they thought it was clear that that type of behavior is not encompassed under the statute. So they don't need to make an exception for something they're not trying to wrap in. Right. And so if, you know, it again, I think it is clear from reading all of these definitions, all of these statutes, that what we're talking about is one person using another in order to harm a minor, right? And so the legislature didn't think that it would wrap into what they're doing,
this, right? Or
self-behavior.
That's a fair point. Or conversely, one could say, you know, the legislature has made a determination that it despises child pornography so much that even includes pornography done by a minor sent to another minor. I mean, that could also be a fair, well, could that also be a fair point?
Right. But I think taken to the extreme, that means the legislature means to allow for criminal prosecution of somebody who takes a nude picture of themselves, right? And somebody who's 17 years old and 7 months, who takes a picture of themselves is guilty of a felony crime that an 18-year-old who's 5 months older is not, you know, would not be subject to this criminal prosecution. I think that is an absurd reading. And I think that would be subject to plain language absurdity. So for all those reasons, again, I'd ask for reversal of these adjudications. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. We appreciate both your answers to our questions from each of you and the briefing you've submitted. We will now take the matter under advisement, issue a ruling within 90 days. We will be proceeding to our case number 3 on our oral calendar. So you each have a good day.